Welcome to the Beacon Church Podcast. We love that you've tuned in. We hope this message not only inspires you, but more importantly, we pray it helps you grow closer to Jesus.
Love you, man. Well, you can take a seat if you like. Welcome to our very first 8 a.m. Feels a bit different, doesn't it? Who struggled a bit more this week than last week? Where's that extra hour gone, right? Hey, Ben, thanks so much. Incredible worship this morning, and I just love getting back into this year. Beck and I had the privilege of going to youth camp and just sort of being a fly on the wall. We weren't doing anything, just watching on pretty much and just observing what's been going on in our youth ministry through this camp. Before I go any further, if you're a youth leader and you're at that camp, can you just stand up? If you're a youth leader and you're at that camp, yeah. Amazing crew, eight of them here this morning. Take a seat. These guys haven't slept at all. But we're just so proud of our leaders. We're so proud of our young people. I think there was about 90, 95 or so with leaders went from Beacon Church. But you know the thing that really blesses my heart as a pastor is actually the reports of character that come back. It's one thing to, go to a camp and everyone goes, your kids are super fun, but they also destroyed everything, come back, maybe, But Beck and I, we were able to connect with some pastors from other churches there, and just the glowing report of the Beacon kids, the Beacon teens, the Beacon leaders. There was one stage, Morgan, who was putting on the camp from Noosa, she was talking to Beck, and she's like, I was down at the beach, and I had to set up this activity, and everything in me was like, I just wish I had 10 Beacon people to help me out, because I know they would help me out. And then one night, I went down. It was about 11 p.m., and all the leaders, we took pizza down to them because they just needed food and sustenance, and rocked up, and it was so amazing. All these other leaders from other churches, they're like, we want to be part of Beacon. You just want pizza, come on in, there's enough for everyone. We'll feed you. But one of the things, as I was sitting down and chatting to the leaders as they were literally zombieing out, like they're just passing out, I think Bella at one stage said, I want to eat pizza, I just can't reach it. It was like half a meter away, just a pure exhaustion. They brought it to her and fanned her off. But I think at that stage, another one of the leaders from the local church said, oh, there was a room that was an absolute mess, and I heard all you Beacon guys just got in there and cleaned it up. Thank you so much. It wasn't your responsibility. And that's what we love. So thank you so much. Just shining Jesus in everything. It's one thing, to shine when you're jumping up and down and being loud in the mosh pit. It's another thing to love people outside of that. And that's growing great men and women. And we're so proud of Bella and Josiah leading the way so strong. These guys get a break now. They're going away for a couple of weeks. Pray for them. That you say, and you can't come? Is that what you said to the rest? Don't call you. Okay, great. I'll delete your number for 3 weeks. All right, so... But yeah, just so incredibly proud of our teenagers and what went down and just seeing what God does in the lives of young people. So can't wait for next year, 2026 Youth Summer Camp. That'll be fun. Also want to say big ups to the Pink Panthers that won the thing. Church, you got to understand, the other youth groups, they're just like, what goes on in the Redlands? Anyway... There's a sea of pink everywhere. So anyway. Hey, I got to get into the message. Who was with us last week, by the way? Who was with us last week? Good. Okay, half of you. The rest of you come back to church for 2025. Thank you. Good to see you. We've launched into a series on seeing clearly in 2025. Seeing clearly in 2025. That we'd have eyes to see the world the way that Christ sees the world. That we would actually go into this year with really, really clear vision. That we would be able to step into this year with absolute assurance that God is with us. And that what we're doing is God's work. And if you weren't with us last week, go and listen to the podcast. Because I talked about how God wants to walk with us in 2025. He also wants to have conversation with us. And he wants to open our eyes as we have that conversation. So if you missed last week, I'm just going to say, go and see that. Go and listen to that podcast, the Beacon podcast, which you can get everywhere. And you can catch up on this series. Because over the next couple of weeks, even John next week is going to bring a message on vision for 2025. So this idea of seeing clearly is incredibly important. Who knows that when you can't see, it's not great? Who knows if you can't see while you're driving, it's really not great. Earlier this year when I was in the States, hired a car, didn't know how to turn the lights on. And actually had John Cameron in our car. We're driving around and I said, I think the lights are on. And it was really dark. This is in Atlanta. And I'm looking all over the dash of this brand new car trying to find where the light switch is. Can't find it and found. So I put on high beam, but then it was really only just lighting up the dash. And so I'm like squinting the whole time. It's pitch black. And I'm like, I don't think the lights are on. When we finally got back after about half an hour of driving, I've realized, no, they weren't on at all. And this new car had a light switch that was underneath the dash, completely pointless. I had to Google it. The number one Googled thing about that car was, where the heck are the lights, right? So I didn't feel too bad. But when you can't see, it's not great. You know, it's not great when you can't see because all sorts of dangers can happen. We want to be able to see in the dark. I feel sorry for all the other cars around us where there would have been this black car coming out of nowhere. And I'm just like, I don't know what to do. Like, I don't know what to do. Other times when you can't see, really terrible. If you go swimming, anyone go swimming? Anyone go swimming without goggles? Man. I actually went with Levi the other day and he goes, I'll be fine. I'm like, your eyes will burn, mate, you know. I know, when you go swimming without goggles, you're fine for a lap and then all of a sudden things get blurry. Then all of a sudden you're in someone else's lane. You're tangled up in a lane rope or something like that. You need to be able to see clearly and then you put your goggles back on. You can see the bottom of the pool and the Band-Aid floating. And you go, ugh, you know, like, too clear. Too much seeing, just the Cleveland pool, clean it up. Anyway, so you got to see clearly. And I want to talk about this. And today I actually want to go a bit further. And I want to call this, I suppose, this service or this sermon, if you're writing down notes, I want you to write this down. What we see isn't all that there is to see. What we see isn't all there is to see. In fact, we know that we physically can see things, but there is a spiritual world going on that we may not be seeing right now. The Apostle Paul understood the importance of this spiritual vision. In Ephesians 1:18, he prays, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you. Paul is not praying for like just physical sight. He's praying that we would see with spiritual eyes, eyes of faith, eyes of discernment. And I believe more than ever, this is what we need in 2025. We need to see more than just meets the natural eye. In Ephesians 6:12, Paul reminds us also of the spiritual battle that's going on for your life right now. If you've just come to church today, who found it hard to get to church today? Anyone? Hey man, there might be a spiritual battle going on for your life right now, and I'm glad you overcame it. You know, you're here for a reason. Ephesians 6:12 says this, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. What we see in the natural is not often what is below the surface. Behind the scenes, yes, God is at work for us, but there's also an enemy that wants to take us down. I can tell you firsthand, every time if Beck and I get in an argument, I know you can't picture it because we're so lovely. When we get in an argument and we get frustrated, I can almost guarantee every time we go down that track, I can about 2 minutes after that argument is blown up go, I know what this is. There's an attack coming against us to bring about division. And then normally after that time of frustration and anger at each other, we realize, oh man, we've been tricked. And normally it's just before a massive breakthrough in the church or there's something that needs to happen. God's just about to do something great and we've just fallen for the trap. We've fallen for it again. We've fallen into the old trap. And it's very easy to sometimes not see the things that are unseen. And one of my favorite passages of scripture is about a moment where a war breaks out and God highlights the things in the unseen to a man that needs to know it's existing. And so if you've got your Bible with you, 2 Kings 6:15-17, that's the task for this year, to bring your Bible to church. If you don't have a Bible, just take one from out in the foyer. Grab one, read it, highlight it, scribble in it. I don't care. Just make sure you bring a Bible. Because we will have it up on the screen, of course. But, you know, I think it's something really powerful about having your own Bible so you can remember what God has spoken to you over the year. Now, this is what happens. It's really a powerful story about the prophet Elisha in 2 Kings 6:15-17. Elisha's servant actually wakes up Elisha because he's terrified. He's just seen their enemies, an army is surrounding them and they're about to get attacked. And it's like, we're all dead. Elisha, wake up, we're all dead. It says this, when the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, An army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. "Oh no, my lord, what shall we do?" the servant asked. "Don't be afraid," the prophet answered. "Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elisha prayed, "Open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see." Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. The spiritual world, boom, opens up, and this guy can see that they've actually got an army for them that's much greater than the army coming against them. Hey, if you're a follower of Jesus, I just want you to know something. You win. You're victorious. Like before anything, just following Jesus, knowing Jesus, saying, "Jesus, I submit my life to you. I'm going to be a follower of you. I'm a disciple of yours. I'm going to follow you." And actually, by accepting that Jesus Christ is Lord, that you saying that he rose again from the dead, accepting that moment, Jesus overcame sin and death and makes us victorious. We actually stand in a place of victory. That's our positioning. We are victorious. And the armies that come against us are no match for God. And what actually happens in this story is quite interesting. Elisha calls out, and then this army comes up against him. Elisha prays that that army would go blind. They all go blind, and he leads them into captivity. And when he opens their eyes, there's a king there of Israel, says, "Should we kill them all? This is the enemy." And Elisha says, "Don't kill them, give them a feast." No joke, go read this story in the Bible. Like, go give them a feast, feed them well. We're not going to kill them. Send them back to their land. Guess what happens in that nation for the next period of time? Peace. God does something incredible. He saves the enemy by blinding them and then says, "Hey, feed them, restore them, send them away," brings about peace. Pretty upside down kind of warfare. Hey, let's give them a feast. But God is in the business of opening and closing eyes. There was so much more going on in this moment. And I want you to understand in 2025, we need to pray that our eyes are open to see what God is doing. Because if we have the eyes to see, you know what, God, you're okay. I don't care what's going on around. I know you're going to work it together for good. I know I'm victorious. I know I'm the head, not the tail. I know what you say about me. I know what the scriptures say about me. I know that nothing can destroy me. I am eternal. I will never die. You might kill my flesh, but I'm an eternal being because you have saved me, God. It changes your perspective on how you can take on a new year. You can walk with confidence that God's already gone before you. And I want that for our church. I want you to understand this battle that you're going through, you are victorious in Christ. Romans 8:31, if God's for us, who can be against us? I want you to understand how big our God is and how small the challenge or the enemy really is. The truth is, though, we can be so blind to what's really going on. We can actually be spiritually blind. We can miss it. We can have our eyes shut. Last week, I was talking about my brother. Remember the story about my younger brother? Went to the cinema for the very first time as a kid. And the story is my mum was really excited to take my boy. He was like 4 years old or whatever. And there was all these ladies around. And my brother apparently declared out loud in the cinema, "Mom, I can't see." And so she's trying to figure out how come my son can't see and everyone's moving for this kid. And he kept yelling, "I can't see." And finally my mum said to my brother, "Why can't you see?" And he goes, "I got my eyes closed." That's when you walk your kid out and go, "We're going home," right? But that's kind of like sometimes with our faith, walking with Jesus, we keep on just functioning in the natural even though we have access to spiritual eyes. Jesus talks about our spiritual eyes being closed and sometimes how we can miss things. He talked about this spiritual vision in Matthew 13:13-16. He says, "Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand." I got to be honest with you. There's been times in my life where, you know, God's trying to speak to me, but I am so dumb. I've missed it. Everyone else around me is like, "Can you not see?" And like, "I can't see." That's why it's actually sometimes amazing, well, it's important to walk with others that can see as well. That they can actually highlight to you what God is doing in your world to make sense of it. You can see, but not truly see. And this year, are you going to have your spiritual eyes open just as much as your natural? Last week, we looked at the two disciples, didn't we? They were on the way to Emmaus. It's the day that Jesus has just risen from the dead. It's the Resurrection Sunday. Some of the disciples have gone to the tomb. The women have gone to the tomb. They've seen there's no body there anymore. They've rushed back. There's no body. He's alive. We've seen an angel. Then some of the disciples go to the tomb. They don't see Jesus. They're sort of pondering, could it be possible that Jesus is alive? And two of them decide, we're going for a walk, for a 7-mile walk, 10K walk to a town called Emmaus. And Jesus joins them on the walk. And he talks with them the entire way, hours of walking and talking. And they're chatting about Jesus. And Jesus is like, why are you so downcast? And like, haven't you heard of Jesus? Everyone knows Jesus of Nazareth and what he claimed to do. And he got killed on Friday and he's dead and we're so sad. And Jesus is like, uh-huh. And then he starts to talk to them about all the Psalms and the prophecies in Isaiah. And he starts to open up the scriptures to them and show them, oh, but didn't he say he was going to rise again after 3 days? And all of a sudden, they're like, yeah, he did. And then they still don't recognize him until he breaks bread with them. He eats with them that night, breaks bread, and they go, oh my gosh, it's Jesus. Like, I don't think he just took off a wig, went da-da, you know, like, I don't think this is like undercover boss. I don't think, you know, this isn't some dodgy kind of, this is Jesus. They just did not have the spiritual eyes to see that Jesus was in their midst walking with them. And I often think about that. Imagine that moment if they had this moment, they break bread, Jesus is like, and they go, oh my gosh, it's you. It says that their hearts were burning within them. They knew there was something different about this guy, but they couldn't quite see that it was Jesus. They couldn't quite get it. Imagine if Jesus revealed himself to those two and then Jesus disappears and they go, this is good for us. Let's not tell anyone. But we know he's alive, so we're saved. We've got eternal life. Let's keep eating. That was cool. They never tell anyone. Imagine if that happened. We wouldn't be here today. We wouldn't have the church that we had today. We wouldn't have the move of God that we had today. The reason their eyes were opened weren't just for themselves to have a revelation of Jesus. The reason their eyes were opened is so they could share the revelation that Jesus has raised again. That they could go, instantly it says that they got up and they walked another 7 mile back to the 11 disciples that were in mourning and they said, Jesus is alive. They couldn't contain it. It was like the good news, the gospel, Jesus has risen from the dead. He is actually this man that has fulfilled thousands of years of prophecy. Everything that he did is exactly what he said he would do. He is actually, this guy is worthy to be trusted. We need to follow him. The most amazing thing about seeing in the spiritual and knowing the truth of Jesus Christ is that it's not just for us, it's for us to share with others. And in 2025, I want us to understand that Jesus wants us to be a church that is on mission to share with others. Like, we talk about Redlands for Christ, like Redlands for Christ. This idea that our city would be met with the love of Jesus, would be impacted by the love of Jesus. I know our youth have got it. In fact, on the last day, Bella preached a cracking message on the Great Commission. Go and invite people to come and see the goodness of God. And right at the end, there was prayer together. I actually caught this. I actually stood back and filmed this. If we've got that video there, Tim. Our youth declared this. They were so fired up. They've got clear vision what they want for this city. Have we got that video there? Let's play it. Now, you might be like, all right, a bit of a champ, but I know, youth, you guys are on mission. I was talking to some of the young guys there in leadership in their schools. They're like, we want revival in our schools. We want to see this happen. I know that there's already, we've had reports back. Even Beck got a report on, I've already invited this person to youth on Friday. You know, this youth group, I just want to also talk about prophecy. And Bella and Josiah, you can have 3 weeks off, but when you come back, it's game on, okay? You know, ever since we've been here, 3 weeks. Oh, it's only two. I said three. And I didn't say I was prophesying, so good on you. Can't go back on my word. Let your yes be yes, your no be no. Have fun. But, you know, ever since, you know, we came here, it's just, I felt my spirit for this youth group that I said to them, I remember saying to Bell and Josiah, there's been a glass ceiling of youth ministry across the nation. It gets to 100 kids and then it cannot go any further. It's like we're tapping out here. There's no way to reach more than 100 kids. And they're some of the biggest youth groups across the country. And these guys consistently have seen that in the last few months, 100 kids on Friday nights. But as I saw your new group of leaders coming through, there's a whole bunch of new leaders that just graduated grade 12. I saw this army of young people at youth camp, just passionate about Jesus, passionate about reaching their friends. I honestly felt in my spirit, this is the year that you crack that ceiling of 150, 200, that this city will be known as the youth group that people go, wow. You know, for a long time, the Redlands has been known as almost the Deadlands when it comes to church success or growth or people. Actually, it's like people try out here, but it doesn't work. But I just see the Holy Spirit upon your youth group and you're going to change things. This year, I can just see just busting open. In fact, I want to pray right now. Church, just reach out towards Bella and Josiah and the other leaders. If you're a leader, put up your hand so they can reach out towards you over on the left hand side here. God, we just thank you for this youth group, God, that they see. They see the Redlands for Christ. They've got the vision. They've caught it. They know that every young person in this city needs to know you, Jesus. And God, we pray that you will anoint and appoint each and every young person, even if they're not a leader by name, that they will be a leader in their school, a leader in their primary school. God, as they're coming up and through into our teens, God, we pray that this not only will just revolutionize youth, this will revolutionize the city. God, that this city will be known as a safe city, that teenagers aren't running rampant, that our young people actually have vision and purpose, that they won't perish because they're is vision for their life, that they will know that they were born on purpose for a purpose. Jesus, we ask that right now, we've been praying it for years, but God, reverse revival, that there will be family members, parents, grandparents, cousins, family members coming to Christ because of the teenagers in a church, God, leading the way. And God, may, as we are a little bit older, may we get inspired to be evangelists like them. Redlands for Christ, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Amazing. It's incredible. Once the eyes of the disciples are open, they realize they have to share the good news. They can't help it. They got to share the good news. The second thing that I love that happens to these disciples once they get back to the 11, I'm going to read from Luke 24. It says this. I'm just going to, I suppose, open up this eyes, show you with this moment anyway. It says this in verse 36. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, peace be with you. So these two have gone back to the 11. They've walked another 7 miles. They've done 20 Ks that day. They get back to the 11, they're like, Jesus has just appeared to us, he's alive, and this is amazing. All the disciples are like, this is crazy, and then Jesus appears in their presence, okay? Poof! And he says, peace be with you, okay? What sort of sick joke is that? Or are you freaking out? Jesus is right there. And it says, they were startled and frightened, I would be too, that they'd seen a ghost. He said to them, why are you troubled, and why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. Is I myself, touch me and see, a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see I have. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still did not believe it because of the joy and amazement, he asked them, do you have anything to eat? They gave him a piece of broiled fish. He took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, this is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. The second thing, when you have your eyes open to who Jesus is, I believe the Holy Spirit opens our minds to the scriptures. When Jesus reveals himself to you, all of a sudden these scriptures, this old book, this old Bible, this thing, it makes sense. And as a pastor, like I hope when you come on a Sunday morning when I'm sharing with you, you get fresh revelation. You go, oh, light bulb moment. I get it now. I totally understand what God was all about. And that's my heart as someone who shares each week. But I pray that in 2025, as you open your Bible, that your mind will be opened and you will understand what you're reading. That God will reveal to you. I mean, that changes the game when you understand the scripture. When you understand what the Bible's all about, when you understand the whole Old Testament is leading us to Jesus, when you understand it's talking about Jesus, all the prophecies, all leading us to Jesus, and Jesus is the answer, and we know the end game, there's victory in Jesus, all right? No need for fear. But I hope that you get that understanding. You know, sometimes, I know this, so I've read the Bible, and I remember my teen years, I'd be like, what the heck does that mean? And then I'd go, Bible roulette, God, show me something else, you know? Not that one, you know, like, but imagine if you could open your word and the Holy Spirit illuminates, shows you and teaches you, and you have great understanding. Your mind now understands everything that God wants to say. Man, I want that for you. I want that for you. I had a friend whose mum looked into God a few years back. When I was about 20, she was quite agnostic. She said, I'm going to read the Bible. She read from the start to the end, the entire Bible. In fact, it's probably more than most of us, right? Read the whole thing. And at the end, she goes, I just don't get it. And I'm like, I'm praying the whole time. I hope she gets it. But she goes, I just don't get it. Why? The Holy Spirit wasn't revealing it. It was just another book. She might as well be reading another novel or a Harry Potter series. You know, like it's sort of like, who cares? It doesn't, it's not different. It's different when the Holy Spirit reveals it. When Jesus touches it, when he opens our mind to understand the words, man, everything changes. And then all of a sudden you can't get enough of the word. And so every time you open your Bible in 2025, every time you do that, can I just challenge you? Pray beforehand. Just say, Jesus, I don't understand. Would you help me understand? You don't have to pray a complicated prayer. Open that Bible, and when something stands out to you, highlight it, circle. That's why I get a real Bible. You know, just highlight it, circle it, put a date next to it. If you don't understand it, but something for some reason it caught your attention, contact a pastor, contact one of us, contact a friend in a connect group. Find someone who has that further knowledge. Go, can you explain this to me? Because the Holy Spirit's trying to reveal something to you. It stood out to you. Now it's for your turn to actually go and be disciplined, to go and seek the thing that God wants to say. And so I want to challenge us all this year, as our eyes are open, not only will our eyes be open, that our minds will be open to understand the scriptures, just like that first church, as those first disciples got. Directly after this moment where their understanding occurred, now they understand everything Jesus has said. For 3 years, they're all confused. I mean, these guys are pretty simple guys. Like, Jesus constantly asks them, they just keep missing it, right? Now their minds are open, they understand what Jesus is all about. The 3 years of ministry all makes sense. It all makes sense. And because it makes sense, Jesus now can commission them and send them out to share the good news. Because they can share with clarity what they understand. Verse 46, he says this. He told them, this is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations beginning in Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, which we just talked about being a witness in that song we sang. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, that's being the Holy Spirit, but stay in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high. The disciples get full clarity. They can see clearly 3 years of Jesus' ministry. And because of that, he gets sent out. They get sent out and they're fine with it because they are fully charged. We need to understand that our ability to see clearly in 2025 is incredibly important, not just for us, but for those around us. It's so incredibly, if we want to reach this city, we need to have clarity. We need to see what God wants to do and what he is doing. We need to share the revelation of what God's saying. Maybe if you're someone who's been reading your Bible and you've been like, I find it hard to read this Bible, it doesn't make sense, get a different version. Get a version that might just speak to you a bit more clearly in more sort of layman's terms, maybe a bit more simple, and you go, oh, I get it. As I said, last week I had this revelation reading 2 Corinthians 5, 14 to 18 again, but just in a different translation, it kind of just made my mind just go, whoa, that is so cool. It says this, we are ruled by the love of Christ. Now that we recognize that one man died for everyone, which means that we all share in his death. He died for all, so that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but only for him who died and was raised to life for their sake. No longer then do we judge anyone by human standards. Even if at one time we judged Christ according to human standards, we no longer do so. Anyone who is joined to Christ is a new beginning. The old is gone, the new has come. All this is done by God, who through Christ changed us from enemies into his friends and gave us the task of making others his friends. Last week we talked about being a friend of God in 2025. The friendship isn't just for us either. It's not selfish. The reason we have friendship with God is to introduce others to that friendship. May we be on mission this year. May we have clear focus on what we're doing this year, to see others in our life. You know the old saying, the blind leading the blind? We have a world doing that. What about those that can see leading others to see? Those that have sight helping others to see. Imagine if Beacon, I mean, we are a light. We talk about guiding people home here. Have that in your heart. I can see. I want to help you see. I want to share Jesus with you because it changed my life. I'm more than convinced, more than ever before, that every person on the face of the planet needs to know Jesus. They'll be better for it. I don't know anyone who's encountered Jesus in a real way that's been worse off. Because he's the reason we're here, to worship him, to know him. By seeking him, everything else makes sense. Maybe make it your mission this year to invite someone to church. Have that confidence to go, hey, why don't you come to church? Come and see. Come and see what God's done in my life. You're going to love it. Come along. Make it your mission this year to be someone that has their eyes open, but also someone who can share what they see with others. Just three practical things as we wrap up today. Because I want to make it as clear as day on what we need to do in regards to moving forward in 2025. Number one, pray for spiritual clarity. Pray for spiritual clarity. Elisha, he knew it was there. He knew that God was for him, but he goes, because the servant was scared, he goes, open his eyes, God, show him. And all of a sudden, he sees the chariots of fire. My gosh, he's like, oh my goodness, we have an army surrounding us. May you have spiritual clarity this year. Open, you know, if you fear, like, God, would you show me the protection you have for me? I know people that pray this sort of stuff, and they do. They see angels, they see all sorts of stuff in the supernatural, and the spiritual. I've prayed time and time, God, would you just show me once? Nothing. Not in the physical, but saying that while I was actually speaking in a prison over at the prison out at Wacol a few years ago to some teenagers that were in prison, while I was preaching, I didn't know it, but there's a prison guard who saw an angel standing behind me the whole time. I didn't know it. He called me, panicked, got my number, found it out. Are you the short guy speaking at the jail? The little guy? Yeah, that's me. I'm a hobbit. Whatever. Yep. He goes, yeah. He goes, mate, what was that all going on while you were speaking? He said, I've never seen anything like it. And I know some of the prisoners saw it and they were freaking out. What was going on? I said, mate, I have no idea what you're talking about. He goes, you don't know. He said, there was a figure of light standing behind you the whole time with his hand on your shoulder, about 6 foot tall, burning bright the whole time you spoke. And I'm like, I said, what are you talking about? He said, mate, tell me you know what I'm talking about, because I'm ringing you to figure. And I just went, it must have just been God, mate. It would have been, maybe it was an angel, or maybe it was the Holy Spirit. God woke me in the middle of the night that night because I was freaking out. I was like at a motel in Harvey Bay. I'm like, God, would you teach me what that was? And he revealed to me. He said, show me a scripture. And it was all about speaking justice and speaking freedom for the prisoners. And then it says, and I will be, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Be your protector. And I literally had a protector in a jail standing behind me. Now, I have prayed, God, but I want to see it. Why some random guy? Now, by the way, the security guard has no faith. I said, are you a Christian? He goes, no. And he goes, when you speak, does that always happen? I'll come and watch you speak again. And I'm thinking, you dirty dog, you're using me, you know, for your spiritual enlightenment. Oh, I suppose I can, you know, I suppose you can now. But back then, but it's super, you know, there's more to see that you're seeing. God is much bigger than you know. Ask for spiritual clarity this year. Understand he's for you, not against you. You win. You're victorious. Second, spend time in the Word. You know, spoke about it last week. The Word of God is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. It's not a spotlight, but it will show you the next step. When you're in the Word every day, you can get to the next step. Don't know how to go forward? Read your Bible. He'll light up your next step. Immerse yourself in God's Word this year. Get a real Bible. Circle it, date it, highlight it, do whatever you need to do. Just don't roll it up and smoke it, all right? Kez, you've been caught. Just wanted to check you in the room if you're still awake, to be honest. And finally, walk by faith, not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5:7 reminds us, for we live by faith, not by sight. Faith means that we trust what God says to be true, even if we can't see it in our natural eyes. It means believing in God's promises, even when the circumstances seem uncertain. Spiritual vision requires faith, trusting that God will do what he promised, that his promises will come to pass, even if we can't see it yet. That's what I want for 2025. I want us to be a church full of faith that will step out and go, God, I know it to be true, and I hold on to that promise. I want to see you come through. You know, in 2025, Beacon, we want to see clearly, don't we? We want clarity. We want to know. God, show us which way to go, and we'll go that way. Just show us which way to go. open our eyes, God, to the world around us, to the needs of those around us. May we love people like you love people. May we be people that walk by faith. Open our eyes in 2025 that we can see when we're just under attack and we need to call that out. When our families are under attack, we're fighting with our spouse, call it out. Devil, not today. Don't say it to them, but you know what I mean? Like, call it out. You are awake. This year, let's put God first. Let's see clearly. I'm going to pray right now. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that there is so much more to be seen that isn't seen. That God, you are a supernatural God. That there's so much going on. But God, we know that with you, we're covered by your blood. We are safe. We're protected. We're victorious. We can step in confidence into this year, knowing that you are for us, not against us. God, I pray that we would know you this year. And maybe you're here today and you're like, I don't have that spiritual awareness. I have never received Jesus Christ. I am just walking in the physical. I need that spiritual eyes. I need to see clearly in 2025. Well, Jesus made it clear. He said, hey, I came here to save you. He said it for 3 years. I'm going to die on a cross. I'm going to raise again to make a way for every person to be saved. You just have to believe in me. Confess with your mouth that I am Lord and you will be saved. It was a simple message, and maybe you've never declared, Jesus, I want to make you Lord of my life. I want to follow you all the days of my life. Open my spiritual heart. Let me see the more that Az is talking about today. That's you today, and you go, I want to follow you, Jesus. I just want you to raise your hand wherever you are. You're declaring, Jesus, I repent. I'm going to turn my life around. Yeah, right up the back there, I see that hand. Amazing. If you're like, I repent, I'm turning my life around today. I want to follow you, Jesus. I want to follow you, Jesus. I want to see what you see, God. If there's anyone else here who just wants to start that walk of faith today, just raise your hand so I can pray for you. Well, young lady, I'm going to pray for you right now. God, I thank you for this individual that's put up their hand. I need you, Jesus. God, I pray that you would work in their life as they lay their life down, decide to follow you and your ways, Jesus. I pray that you would open up their spiritual eyes to everything you have for them in their life. God, I pray that you would be a blessing upon them, that you would show them they are victorious, that they can step in confidence in 2025. God, may this just be the start of a lifelong journey following after you, Jesus. And for the rest of us in this church, God, I pray that you'll be with us every step of the way. May we be people that seek after more than just the physical, God. We'll go after the spiritual. That we will open our Bibles, God, that you'll reveal yourself to us through your word in every single way that we may be effective to reach the Redlands for Christ in 2025. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's message. For more information about our church, please head to beaconchurch.com.au. We look forward to welcoming you to our home.